down and chump some of this shit.
Not just some scary movie.
You like scary?
Uh-huh.
Hell is this?
Face cops!
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass!
We're live.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Nerdy Up North podcast. It's a nerdy podcast, and it's hosted by Northern Nerds. I am one of your hosts, Sam.
And I am the other host, Paul. And tonight we are joined by a fabulous new guest tonight. We've got the lovely Eel, who has been a supporter of the Nerdy Up North Instagram to start with, shall we say, and we managed to entice her over to the Facebook page with our lovely memes and saying, come and talk to us, come and chat with us. But yes, she has been a follower and a constant poster in the group for a number of years now. So it's been a while. We've kept you there. And it's been one of those situations where we've been tempted to get you on the podcast and they're saying, we should get you on. And it's just like, right, bite the bullet, we'll get it done. So yes, so tell us a little bit about yourself there, Eel.
Ah, where do you start? total horror nut, obviously. I mean, you've been following me for a while. You've seen the sort of stuff that I get up to. I'm a very keen prop maker, not for anything apart from my own sanity and mental health. So I have a whole lot of stuff around my house that's cause for alarm for a lot of people. Lots of severed heads and that kind of thing.
Amazing.
That I've made, I should just point out, I have made those. I have not collected them. They are made. And at the moment, my kind of big goal is to open up a horror cafe in Glasgow. So that's kind of that's the end goal for me at the moment. So
awesome.
Hopefully all this encyclopedic knowledge of gore and nonsense will be put to good use at some point professionally and not just
it is the dream for us many nerds to do what we love like I say and get paid for it, so instead of paying for it like what we seem to be doing a lot of.
But yes. Yeah, true, exactly.
But but you do you do have a cool Etsy shop as well, because I bought a Frankenstein candle from you as well. That was quite cool.
Ooh. Yes, thank you for that. sale for a small business is very much appreciated.
Certainly.
Yeah, I run Practically Magic, and also another little promo. Horror Con is coming up in Glasgow for the first time this year in September. I think it's September the 19th, and I will be there. There's some really good guests and stuff.
Ooh.
So any North people, Dundee and Glasgow this year.
It's not that much. That often we're having a more northern person than us on the podcast. I think you are the most northern person that we've had on the podcast as well. So
that's really true.
Yes. So we can't even claim it to be nerdy up north. We're nerdy in the Midlands compared to you at the moment, I think.
I'll never class myself from the Midlands. We are <don't> never...
But yes.
Listen, I won't hold it against you. You're grand.
Middle, I mean, if it's anything, I am 52% Scottish. Oh, if that is any consolation, I tell everyone, by the way.
if you are Scottish at heart, then you're Scottish. That's how we claim you.
So yes. So tonight, as you know, we've got a horror nut on the podcast tonight. So we thought we'd talk about a horror movie that Sammy hadn't seen until yesterday.
Not a shock, but very true. No.
So, Sammy, do you want to get your disclaimer out the way so we can get amongst it, shall we say?
Absolutely. So, everything discussed in today's episode is our opinions, and it's our opinions alone. If you'd like to discuss anything from today's episode, please come and join us on the Facebook page, Discord, or the comments section, where we can have an open discussion. But what we won't have is anyone coming for us and telling us our opinions are wrong. We can all agree to disagree in fandom. So let's keep it fun, keep it kind, and keep the toxic behaviour out of nerdism.
Well said. Very well said.
Thank you.
Especially like when we talk about horror movies as well, I think that disclaimer is quite prevalent, because a lot of people do get on the high horse when it comes to horror. And there can be a lot of gatekeeping and basically just people being general dicks when it comes to horror as well.
Hence the reason why it's said on every Monsters episode, followed by the extended version that has "Don't be a dick."
Yeah, I know. I can't pull off Dan. I don't have the purple hair on us there. So yes, I feel like the little sidekick today. But yes, so yes, The Strangers. Now I remember seeing this in the cinema for the first time. And
you brave. I know how scared you get at stuff.
Well, it's one of those films where it's not a gore fest, so you don't get scared by like the violence in the movie. It's more the anticipation, the fear, and what's drawn out. But I had to sleep least because I think at the time I saw it, I was living. Oh, I can't remember where I was living. It might have been, but I remember having to sleep with the light on. 2008, yeah, I had to sleep with the light on for a good few nights afterwards, just because if you were in the house by yourself, you heard any little rattling, any little noise, it kind of makes you like think. But yeah, I'm quite interested to see when you guys first saw this one. So I know we know Sammy's. So so when did you first see this movie?
Well, it may surprise you, given that I'm a horror nut, but I'm not a huge fan of home intrusion horror because like you say, any small noise, I'm not scared by very much, but people scare me. I know it's so cliched, right? But if people can commit these atrocities, then we're not worried about checking under the bed for monsters, right? We're checking our doors to make sure they're locked, we're checking our windows, we're turning off our GPS. And so I only saw this finally last week, but I ended up going down a bit of a rabbit hole after watching it because I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I was going to, and it didn't scare me as much as I thought. But it was interesting, and you said not a gore fest, or yeah, absolutely, it does tension incredibly well though.
Yes,
I'll give it. I will give
building,
it that.
Like one of the cool things that that I noticed straight off the bat was there's not a single shot in the film that is steady.
Right.
It's constantly moving. It's constantly just slightly too far away. Mm-hmm. Like you can't quite see what's happening.
Reason for that. Mm-hmm. There is a reason for that. The whole film is shot on handheld cameras.
Yeah, and Steadicam.
And that's it. I thought that was extraordinary.
Such a nice touch, because I had to go and look it up after I saw it, because I thought, is that my imagination? Am I just am I projecting a POV here? But that I really liked. It really built this kind of feeling of paranoia being watched. So yeah, I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I was going to. My initial worry was it was just another slasher.
No, definitely. You know, I agree completely, because when you first see the reference, they see the images, you think this is going to be the like just a cliched just stabbing slash jump scares all over the place. It doesn't quite work that way. And again, the only thing that I laughed at, because I tried to find out some information when I first saw it years ago, and I tried it again this week, because you get the start based on true events, like any classic horror movie comes about.
So bizarre that they use talk and dialogue at the beginning, because it's not something that you hear in horror movies of today, this like within the last 10 to 15 years. It gave me such Texas Chainsaw vibes at the beginning. I was like, interesting. Exactly. And then I saw the house. And I was like, again, interesting.
Now, the houses that they show at the beginning are all very evocative. You know, it's very like Amityville, the Psycho House. You know, it's no doubt that it was done on purpose to make you think of these homes, but not homes. This uncanny thing of the familiar, and you know, especially the fact they used his childhood home, unless I picked it up wrong.
No, they did, because I had to work it out, because they don't directly say it at the beginning where they're at, but it's later on when the gun and Mm-hmm. He's like, where's your dad's gun at?
And they use the chart on the wall as well.
Yeah, chart was what
I was not paying attention to that then.
But as you said, at the start, when they're starting with the phone call, because you think, oh, is this going to be, is that house where they're at? Or was it a previous, like, say, a house that these people had visited? So you don't really know, and it keeps you in the dark that with that type of element. But I know Sammy's probably dying to get the taglines out because
I'm really fucking am. It's absolutely itching. Right. It's really good tagline. I love taglines of movies, and I'm trying to find the best one. At the moment, nothing quite beats Batman. But this one kind of might sneak in there a little bit. So it's lock the door, pretend you are safe. We tell ourselves there's nothing to fear, but sometimes we are wrong.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's a really long tagline.
There's some longer ones. I kept Breakfast Club. There's a whole fucking paragraph of them.
Sometimes there are people. Sometimes there are not people. Other times there are doors.
And is there a door? What's behind the door?
Be scared.
Yeah, that was... I really like it. I like the whole lock the door and pretend you're safe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's what I do every time I lock the door. I do pretend I'm safe.
This film...
It does add to that sort of Texas Chainsaw thing again, where it's something that you don't really see or hear in movies anymore. So you don't really get that blurb at the beginning. You know, I really miss the days of, this is 100% true. Right, keep me on track because I will go off on tangents. But, you know, like Vincent Price movies, there would be this whole theatre during and before it, sometimes after, like The Tingler.
Yeah.
You know, experience fear and all this kind of stuff in real time.
I instantly went to House on Haunted Hill and I'm Vincent Price. And the beginning, I did my Monsters podcast did Plan 9 from Outer Space on Monday. And I did the opening monologue, which is Criswell's monologue to the film, which is kind of the same thing. Fucking terrible speech, by the way.
It wasn't too bad. I've seen worse.
I didn't mean my performance.
All right.
I give you grand A-level performance on that one. There was no GCSE there. Yeah. I just meant the actual words themselves. Mm-hmm. The future is your future, or something along those. Oh, it's terrible. But I love the aspect of the talking at the beginning, the prologue of the film, like, this is based on true events, but it actually isn't. And it really did give us Texas vibes. So I was very much like, because Texas Chainsaw was like one of my favorites, I was like, yeah, kind of in this. Let's go.
It is, as you said, with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it's like a homage to it all the way through, except from it hasn't got the big, like, but if you look at the way that the horror works in this movie, because it's an assault on your senses, it's more sounds, it's more the things that's not being said or looks. And that's because a lot of people think the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is all about blood and guts. There's very little blood and there's very little violence actually in what you see in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's what you don't see. It's like, oh, you hear them, like, pull out the chainsaw, then it'll, like, the door closes, or he'll grab someone or hit someone with a hammer, and then it's like all the noises. And the most things that do get you, like, quite intensified with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is the women screaming, because it's constantly screaming and constant noise. Well, this doesn't do it with screams. It's more like with the music, where they pick the most irritating songs and that you could ever hear. Like, normally volumes as well, like, because normally with a soundtrack volume, the volume on the music is whacked up to the level where it makes you feel, like, uneasy and like, not comfortable. And even at the first knocking on the door, that's not a normal knock on the door. That's, like, someone hitting it with a hammer or, like, sledgehammer. The way it's, like, not rat-tat-tat. Like, it's like, an assault and everything that you're feeling, and it never lets up. And it kind of, like, doesn't give you time to breathe, where a lot of films, or there'll be, like, a comedy element or a little jokey element.
There was nothing of that in this whatsoever.
No.
The opening scene itself, when they're driving in the car with nothing around, and even when they're sat at the traffic light and there's no one there, They're just waiting at that red light. It just completely shows you how alone they are.
Yeah.
They are completely, and it just in that one scene alone, even regardless of the house situation, just the fact that they're going down that street, there is nobody in sight. There is not a car on the road. There is not a person. And I know it's like coming up to like 4 o'clock in the morning, but still, it just gives you that indication that they are alone,
yeah,
completely 100%.
And you know what, I know what I think really clever with the storytelling as well, because they could have went with a really lovey-dovey couple like having the best night of their life and then like doing a full 680, but with this it's kind of like they're in a bad place, something's happened, they hint at what's happened all the way through, but they don't actually directly tell you what's happened. And
they kind of do. She says no, and she just says, because they talk about it when they're sitting at the table, because you've got actually 15 minutes with these people before anything actually happens, and they're sitting talking at the table, and she goes, I'm just not ready for marriage yet.
Yeah.
And she kind of like scoots the ring right across the table to him, and it's like, that's what he did tonight. He proposed.
But the thing is, as well, I know...
Selfish?
Bastard.
And yes, that was one of the comments I said when I was talking to Nick about it last night, because we watched it again last night. I was good. Like, even though she said no, he's going on like a complete bell end. Like, there was no need for that, because she not once said that she didn't want to be with him, or not once said that they were over, or that the relationship was finalized. She said she wasn't ready. That, and again, exactly. And that's her choice, and she's allowed to feel like that, and for him to be the biggest baby about the situation, it really pissed us off, and it probably didn't annoy us as much when I watched it originally, but last night it actually got us really mad at him. I was like, you fucking dickhead.
There is a lot of things that really pissed me off about that character that in the end I genuinely did not give two fucks if he died or not. The biggest starting point is the crybaby phone call to his friend. Oh, Mike, will you come and get it? Fucking child. Mike turning out to be fucking Dennis.
Yeah.
From Always Sunny. I was buzzing my tits off.
But to be fair, though.
This is going
to
be funny. No.
No, no. And that's probably why the turning point for you when the act did happen, when Dennis didn't make it out of that room alive. And when he accidentally killed him, that's why you saying that you want him to die. I totally get that now, because he killed Dennis.
No. I get that. There were some moments though where I was like, do you know what, Dennis? He could really flip the Dennis switch here, because he was like walking around with that like a stoic like look on his face, like, you know, like, oh, he could totally be a serial killer right now.
Bring on the chaos. Let's just make
absolutely.
It
would have been amazing. Yeah. That scene was very predictable though.
Yeah, yes.
You could see it. You could see it coming out as it was happening. No, what really upset me about this man was the gaslighting he did when he turned. And I very rarely understand gaslighting, and I fucking got it last night when she turned around and said, someone's took me phone, and he went, no one's been in the house. They haven't took your phone. It's like, hey, motherfucker, you have, go and fucking look where our phone charger was. I was so angry. And then he left her.
Yeah.
He left her. If that had been my husband,
I'll be back.
Yeah.
Divorce papers would be signed straight away.
Well, no divorce papers. She said no, so it's fine. But the only thing, again, not to say it was bad like writing or bad storytelling, that thing that didn't quite ring true is when at 4 o'clock in the morning, you've got a beautiful woman knocking on your door, asking for someone, then saying, see you later. No way is Liv Tyler's girlfriend going to kick off with him saying, who's that bitch? Why is she knocking on my door? Again, I would if a bloke, a nice good looking bloke, knocked on the door at 2 o'clock morning and started saying, oh, I'm going to see you later to Nick, I'd be like, what the fuck's going on?
See you what?
You think
but the whole. Like,
try it. Dennis is coming round. We'll see what exactly.
You fucked.
Frank's still in the couch. Still, we haven't got him out yet.
Just imagine if Frank was in the couch in this film.
But as you said, when they built up the tension, like everything that they went through, like when he went away and left her in the house, and just walking through the house, she got the ring stuck on her finger, which was hilarious. And again, that's when the tension kind of ramps up, but the little like it's almost like the Haunting of Hill House, where you're spotting the ghost or spotting the face in the background. Mm-hmm. So you're looking for things that might not be there or other there, and then your imagination starts playing on it as well. So it kind of ramps up, and that's you're kind of making yourself get more wound up, not the film. And I thought that was quite an interesting take.
That was great. I love when a filmmaker will leave you that space to fill in the blank yourself. And I found quite a fair bit of it, especially in those scenes where, what's her name in it? Kristen? Kristen's walking around in more or less silence. You've got this, you're listening intently, you're listening for every potential creak. Like you say, looking in the shadows, and they leave these vast scenes open where she's standing. And you know, in a horror film, if there's a huge gap, you know, the bad guy's coming from there.
But then he would come from there. And that was the terrifying part. The first time you see him standing behind her is like kind of like, I have blurry vision to start with. Like, I have to wear very focal. So I'm kind of like squinting, going, is he actually there? But what it gave me was when you watch Hush, that it kind of gave us that kind of feeling, because she was completely oblivious. We are completely fully aware that this person is there, and she is completely oblivious to it. And I'm like screaming at her, turn around, bitch. Just turn around. Like, the dude's turn around, and it all will be, you'll see what I can see. And I hate the fact that you like that feeling of not being able to talk directly to Liv Tyler.
Just
tell us. Specific. I know, I have that every day.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, there's so many different elements to it, though. What did you think about the masks when all three of the masks were kind of revealed, or you kind of like saw them like individually? Because you got the sack face first, then I think that one of the the sack face, that's only where it's like almost like the scarecrow
baghead.
get called different in the northeast there. But the other thing was, one was called doll face, I believe.
Doll face.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I can see that.
Then it was like the kind of the younger one, but she was almost like the ringleader of all three. Like the blonde girl, she was kind of like the one that was instigating the terror, or instigating like what was going on. But I remember seeing the masks, and even for like a little horror movie like these, I don't think they get the due or get the credit that they do, because their looks are iconic. Like,
oh yeah, that is the word I would use. It is so difficult to get one mask, let alone three, to be instantly recognizable and that iconic. And I think the three together are just different enough and just blank enough that you can project your own fears onto it. Because, I mean, what's scarier than... Like a sack over a head, you know, like
it's a bag.
It's the dead eyes as well, or the dead eyes.
But that's the thing, though. You don't actually. I never made out their eyes, and I thought that was absolutely perfect. I understand what you mean when you said earlier about how you felt this could have been a slasher film. Masks always instantly go to the slasher genre, and it's like that little twist to it where, oh, actually, it's home invasion. I like that aspect. I'm not gonna lie, Baghead does scare the shit out of us. But I generally thought Dennis was one of them.
Right.
Because I saw his name on the cast list and I was like, oh fuck yes, of course, like Glenn Howden is gonna be one of the bad guys. And I was very disappointed when he wasn't.
Well, I thought that there might have been some kind of twist, ready or not kind of storyline to it, in that she has rejected him, she's humiliated him in the restaurant, declined his advances, so he and his brother are going to mess with her because you need him, because he's there to protect you, and kind of you know, up the gaslighting just that little bit more into well, you should have just said yes, you know,
because this wouldn't have happened otherwise. I like that.
So I start to think, because there was a couple of kind of scream moments where he disappears and they arrive.
Yeah.
And then he comes back and they're gone, and you're like, is that a red herring? And of course, yeah, it is. But
Now I'm totally thinking about, what's it, Your Next, the Australian kind of one, where the family was in on it. Yeah. Oh, interesting. Now, The one thing, yeah, I've kind of liked in that theory now. Shit,
I do like that. That would have been a lot better. I would have been. Don't get us wrong. I really love the aspect of the three individuals completely, like they are the complete strangers. And I don't want to jump straight to the ending straight away, but I'll talk to her when we get about it. But I did like the ending. But I really like that idea better. Let's make this film.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the bleakness of it that makes it so scary. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that, why are you doing this? Because you were home.
Yeah.
It's
so simple and so impactful, that thing. Because
it's nothing you've done. It's not a revenge. There's no motivation, which makes me think that it's likely mirroring the LaBianca Tate murders. So you mentioned Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and you got all these films and all these novels that came out after the Ed Gein case. So you have Psycho, and you have Silence of the Lambs, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and it's very similar themes. But then you get these home invasion movies that kind of all came around, I suppose, like late 90s, early 2000s, that have a similar pattern. So
like Funny Games and type thing, almost.
Funny Games is 100%. And you think, I wonder if it's taken from that. You just in the wrong place at the wrong time. We were targeting a house and it happened to be yours.
I remember there was an episode of Luther as well where one of the killers, I think it was season two, or maybe season one, season two, where he was doing a live stream of a street. And he was literally just knocking on doors, and the person that opened the door was going to get stabbed. So literally he was just going up a street, like a normal street in London. And then like the police are watching and trying to work out which street they're at, like how to get there, how quickly they get there. And you see Idris Elba's like Luther screaming at the tape, "Don't fucking open the door." Like just screaming, like, because he's getting like so wound up. And someone comes to the door, and he's this guy in a mask just starts stabbing away. And it was kind of like that. When I saw this and like watched that as well, like I said, both of them kind of led into the thing. But going back to the actual movie as well, because we're going in tangents, one thing I did really love about this movie as well, not one part did the victims get on top of get the upper hand. They were always not in control. Like these three people, like the strangers, were in control for
everything.
Like from start to finish, and everything played out the way they wanted. They played with playing with them like as pets, and kind of needled them and pushed them into certain directions and got them where they wanted to be, to the point where I was like, fuck. Like there was no way that these guys were ever gonna get away. Cause
when she's in the shed scene. It was a perfect example, because she could have quite easily done whatever it is she wanted to do in that time, but she quite casually took her time, and Liv Tyler just hobbled on out of there. What was that crawl, by the way? I know she hurt her foot, but what the fuck was that crawl? Also, really annoyed us that she didn't put her shoes on.
Right.
Really, really. She managed to get changed out of her nightdress and put normal clothes on. In her head, she obviously knew something was going to go down. Put your fucking shoes on.
Not even socks.
Put your fucking shoes on. That whole scene alone just proved how much control they had, because she allowed her to leave. She didn't escape. She allowed her to get out of there. And there's a lot of cases that they allowed them to move as well. Sorry, my fire alarm is going off. It's really turning my head in.
We can't hear it. It's fine.
Thank God for that.
I think, like I said, there was a lot of stereotypical horror tropes in there, which throughout it wasn't to the James Wan level, shall we say, where you're trying to guess like by numbers. It wasn't like a horror movie by numbers at times. But there was very much scenes where you telegraphed, this is going to happen. As you said, Dennis's character, he's probably not called Dennis, but we'll call him Dennis.
He's called Mike.
That was telegraphed to the T that he was going to be shot by his friend. But even his friend irritated us with the gun, because one thing one thing that would have basically been scary to me, like if I'm a psychopath and I'm coming at you, even if you don't know how to use a gun, if you point a gun at us, I'm not going to play. So he's like freaking out, saying, "I don't know how to use a gun. Oh, I don't know." Like, and she's like, "Oh, you went hunting with your dad," and she went, "That's what I just told you." It's like, but why?
Another lie as well. Which did we ever find out why he lied about that?
No.
That's another thing that made me go, "No, he's up to something."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dodgy.
Why did you lie about hunting?
Yeah.
And then it's just glazed over. So that annoyed me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for reminding me about that, because that did kind of bug me in the moment.
Well, what got us is like, "Oh, I don't know how to use this gun. Oh, actually, hang on, I do. Never mind. Okay, I do. Yeah.
So
hold my hands up."
But there's a lot of things that could have done wrong or could have done better. But as a whole, as Ale said before, this is a simple like movie that could fucking happen. And when you're thinking about it along those lines, that is fucking terrifying. That is
it's
the scariest.
It's happened in my head so many fucking times already. Like someone's been in my house, definitely been in my house. I actually one night managed to convince myself. I actually scared myself to the point where I had to go and sit and wait by the door for my husband to finish work. Because I said to myself, "What would happen, Sam, if someone walked past and touched your foot right now? What would you do?" In my own head, asked that question, and then I was like, "Oh, I don't actually know what I would do." Actually, I just kept thinking, "Christ, is someone going to come and touch me?" And I had to go and sit and wait by the door for my husband to come in.
Upset myself, no?
Yeah, I can quite easily scare myself without some fucker coming into my house.
The last time, and I'll make this very quick, but the last time I felt like that, it was not from a film, it was from a documentary. Mm-hmm. And I felt really silly the next day, but it did stick with me. A friend of mine had recommended Don't Fuck With Cats. She was like, "Yeah, it's brilliant, internet sleuthing and like get the bastard." She didn't actually mention any of the nitty gritty, and that really upset me because they show far too much.
Me and Sammy are both the same. We're very much cat people, so we're like,
we're cat parents. So my friend actually put on Facebook, "Fucking amazing documentary, absolutely love it. Sammy, this is not for you." I am not joking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. "You can't watch this." But I already knew about the guy to start with. I heard about him when he first got arrested. But obviously not the internet sleuth part, but the whole what he did in order to get arrested and leading up to that. And I thought, motherfucker, no, don't want to give you my time at all.
No. They even advertise it like all cheery. Like, "Oh yeah, catch this guy," and then but that was the last time I felt genuinely like I might have to sleep with the lights on. That has upset me so much. I've got three cats, and
me too.
I would pick
we're a three cat family, but yes.
So nine between us.
I know, as you said, with this movie, we've only seen it like last week, so I wonder what your expectation or what your views on it would have been if you'd seen it when it was originally released. Would it still be the same, or would it have spooked you a little bit more? Because I know it had a stronger impact on me back then. Because I think, as Ale said, there was a few films that came out. Like the only other one that jumps out that was quite similar came out around about the same time. It was, well, depending on who you ask, it's either Vacancy or No Vacancy. Because I think America was called No Vacancy. Over here it was called Vacancy. Mm. Where it was kind of like almost going to a hotel with snuff videos and stuff like that. So again, similar lines, but I don't think it had the kind of impact or the spooky factor that this one did.
No, and when you've got Home Invasion is quite a broad category as well, because what makes it a home invasion movie? Does it have to be your home? In this case, and The Strangers, it's not. It's his childhood home that they're visiting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I would go so far to say movies like Don't Breathe, their home invasion, but it's flipped on its head, you know. I think if I'd seen it younger, it would have disturbed me a bit more. My mind, I fill in the gaps. So Texas Chainsaw Massacre was far worse for me to watch than...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that time. Because I love a gore fest.
That's where your horror differs from mine and his, because we don't do gore.
I'll do gore all day long because it's fake.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be sitting there going, I wonder how they did that. You know, I'm trying to figure out.
I wish my mind would work like that.
I wonder how many gallons of fake blood took to do that. You know, go, is that all practical? That's really cool. You know, and someone else is sitting next to me. You know,
we should have got you on with Kate when we've done the Terrifier.
Oh my god, Terrifier, Art the Clown.
Oh,
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say they're good films.
No, you cannot say that. I love them. Kate tried to sell it really hard on that podcast, and bless her heart, she did try.
she really tried. You know, I love it. I mean, I'm a big fan of splatstick. So if you have a gore moment that's like a punchline, Final Destination, perfect example. Pretty much anything by Eli Roth as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Again, not good films, but...
I love that. It's like, I do like it, but it's not a good film. Yes. Yeah. Shit fantastic, shall we say it, but yes.
Yeah, no one's winning an Oscar for anything like that anytime soon. But it's my sense of humour, so...
Yeah. But no,
I don't know what that says about me.
No, it's fine.
I can't do cannibal movies at all. Anything to do, even though Silence of the Lambs is one of my favorite movies of all time. I fucking love it. It's one of my favorite.
Yeah, but he's
books.
Very polite about it.
He is, isn't he?
I'm going to eat you, but I'll do it with manners.
But it's the idea of cannibalism. It's the fact that to me that's too real.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what really freaks us out. And it makes it like, we did a whole episode on Monsters of Hannibal Lecter. And I think I sat the entire time with my hands in my hoodie pocket, just pulling me hoodie down and like trying not to throw up.
So if you were caught in a disaster, you wouldn't be the first to suggest we pick off the little one.
If we were caught in a disaster, I'm the first one dead. Just know that for sure. I ain't no survivalist. I just ain't no survivalist.
Volunteers for tribute. One thing I will give this movie as well, because this is why it intrigued me as well. I'll probably as well look at it differently now we've had this conversation, because I do like the idea of him being involved in some part or in some way.
I think that's
a complete missed opportunity. But when I was watching it, I did get a huge like paranormal, like supernatural, not like the TV show, but like a supernatural element to it, where these could have been like ghosts, just the way they moved about, where they're there or not there. Because even when they were getting in the house, I don't think it was really explained how they were getting in and out of the house as well. They were just appearing in certain things. I know there was hinted that one of the side doors was open, but then they were coming through the back. When they went in the back, everything was locked up, like the garage was locked up. There was no open doors or locks that was open. It was kind of like they were just appearing or able to get in, like without having any effort. So it was quite an interesting. So I always, when I first watched it, I almost thought it was going to end up like they were kind of like a spooky, or it could have been like an other situation. The others were
like, like the other situation. Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. I didn't think of that, but now that you've said it, when the knocking and the banging starts to really pick up, it sounds like it's coming from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been an interesting kind of poltergeist angle.
I would have felt so gypped off if it did turn out to be ghosts at the end. I'm not going to lie. Don't get us wrong, I do love a supernatural, the supernatural elements. But in this scenario, it was more scary to me that they were just flesh and blood people.
Oh, 100%.
So
I agree.
I would have, don't get us wrong, like I totally get where you're coming from. But if that was the reveal at the end, we're just ghosts, I would have been like, fuck this. Like, I'm not reviewing this today.
It's like,
I think I would have felt a bit cheap.
Yes.
It's one of those ones you just hope it's not going in that direction. But I can see how it could.
It could have played out that way. But I think that's where the film is a little bit clever than just a home invasion film. It kind of hints at a lot of different elements or little things that could be. I said it could be a slasher movie. It could be a supernatural movie. It could be a downright gore fest and stuff, because they could have went hard. And they kind of didn't. Like everything was kind of played back and restrained. I think that would be a key word I would use when they're like watching this movie as well, is how restrained they were. They kind of done little teasers, little elements like moving the smoke detector, or even blocking the chimney so the smoke came in. That was a good little element that they didn't touch up on or go back through
or anything
as well. So it kind of didn't over-explain or treat us as an audience as we were stupid. And as we said before, it gives you that element, that freedom to imagine and start letting your mind play games and say what can be happening. And I do think that element works so well with this.
I'm just laughing because I generally thought with the whole chimney thing, I didn't even put two and two together that they blocked the chimney. I just thought, you're really shit at making fires. Because since I've now been able to master the wood burner and building fires, I feel like I am the pro at it.
All right.
I thought you're really shit at making fires.
So we'll call you the fire marshal now of the
I didn't even put two and two together. That is such a clever touch that they would distract her in that way with using the fire.
I thought it was like a smoker out situation, you know, so she couldn't get
herself
into
a
place of safety. And it's what forced her to keep moving around and so they could see or hear where she was at all times.
Yeah. I wonder if they scoped out, like, because they must have scoped out the house. And as you said, it must have been, they couldn't have just turned up at that time, because they knew exactly where the bedroom was. They knew exactly where, like, the hiding spots were. And I know you can say movie magic for a lot of things, but there's only so much, escapism you can take and say, okay, I'm going
to... And some writing has to be, like, kind of taken into account.
And again, if you're going to do something as brutal and as well planned, because that's what it was, everything was well planned. They knew exactly where they can go or how far to stand to be, like, move out of sight and where, like, to kind of go as well. And it's, like, it's easy... good scares as well. Like, one of the scariest things that you see, you kind of see but you don't see, is when he's searching the car for his phone and all you see is the hand, and it's like slowly coming at her like this, and then it kind of like tickles the back of his neck, and you see him completely freaking out, and he jumps to the other side, and all you hear is the footsteps running away, and it was like, but you don't see which direction or where they've gone. And that
missed opportunity, should have giggled. That, how do you do that to somebody and not giggle?
Yeah.
Yes.
It would have broken the tension.
It would have broken that. Do you know what? At that point in the film, I thought, do you know what? If it was me in that situation, and we get into that point where he had just been freaked out and he knows fine well that her phone had just been fucking taken, I would be like, do you know what? I'm going to try my chances on foot here.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go. I am literally just going to run with some shoes on and see how far it is I get, because I'd rather take my chance out there than in there.
But that's the thing.
Yeah.
They know, well, they kind of hinted at that they're in the house or they've been in the house and stuff as well. Why did they never try and make a break for it? I know the miles away and stuff like that, but surely this, you can try and get away. That's always been my thing. If you look, if you hunker down, fair enough. Hunker down in one room, stay in the corner, like wait for someone to come at you type thing. But it didn't quite do that. And again, I think it probably would be a boring and shit movie if they did do that.
Well, yeah, it ended pretty quickly. You just like, game over. I do like the fact that they didn't keep it in the house totally.
Yeah.
That it did spill outside. I don't think, I do generally think it would have been a very short film if it was just kept within the confines of the house. So I do like the idea they went outside. I just wish they actually just ran. Would have been, just go, just see how far it is you get. The ending with the kids, clearly there's people live there.
Yeah.
So you would have gotten to a house somewhere. And by the way, 4 o'clock in the morning this all starts. How long does it take to get to fucking daylight? I just kept that. I don't know why I kept looking at my watch for. I just kept going, it really feels like it's a long time before it gets to daylight. And by the time the thought actually left my mouth, the sun came up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
So talking about,
felt like it was taking forever.
So talking about the ending as well, because to me, this was one of the most shocking parts of the movie. It was quite intense. And I know we've talked about, like, mentioned the movie before. It was very funny games with the whole, like, kind of reveal but not reveal as well. It was quite interesting that when they've got them, both tied to the chair, and both of them get the reaction, like, why are you doing this to us? Because you were home. But then they take the masks off and, like, do that kind of reveal, but don't show anything to the camera. What would you think the meaning was, or was with the purpose for that as well? Because I know Sammy's looking all proud that she's probably got the notes for it.
Yeah, I do. It's not that I have notes for it. It's just how I felt when I was watching it. I really thought it was so fucking clever that we don't get to see their faces, but they do. And that immediately says to me, oh, you're dead.
Yeah.
Because they've given up the game now. You've seen them.
Yeah, there's no need for them anymore. There's no need for anonymity.
Yes. And I thought that was so clever how we didn't get to see their faces at all, which is why I don't think that I saw their eyes. Like, I don't think I saw anything to do with them. And I love that aspect of it. That was more terrifying for me than the actual, well, you were just home statement. And I was like, oh shit, this is it. And how slow they took it. That was, because normally, like, in the likes of horror, it's rage, it's, you know, it's fast, it's quick. This was not fast.
No,
that was fucking slow, and that would have hurt like a bitch.
Yeah. And how they took turns as well. It was almost
your turn, tag, you're it.
Yeah. I found it interesting that line that said it'll be easier next time.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, it was pretty easy this time. How many times have you done this? Because you seem to you've got a pretty good system going.
It was very clever.
To communicate without speaking. You kind of know what the plan is. You're creating a pincer effect so they can't leave. That's a group of people who have experience in this. So how many more deaths are they responsible for? That makes me wonder about how long it's been going on and what's their end goal.
There's so many questions that never got answered for this movie as well. I know there was a sequel, which please do not go and watch.
Thank God for that. I thought I was going mad when I was looking up, when I kept typing in The Strangers on my phone or on my laptop. It kept coming up with one, and then it had like another title next to it, and I was like, what the shit is that? Like, am I meant to know about this one?
It's like Prey of the Night, I think it's called, or something.
Prey of the Night.
I think something along those lines. But it's kind of like the same characters, but they're in some kind of like caravan park and stuff like that. But it doesn't have the same quite of effect, just simply because the
caravan park.
Imagine you sit in a caravan and they're just battering the sides. It's not quite. It's not quite as tense.
It's kind of like attacking them in this like whole area where they're running around, and like the victims get the better of them for a little while, and like there's certain elements where it's kind of like doesn't have the intensity. It goes out and it's basically a slasher movie. They made a sequel that is a slasher movie. I know there is a remake coming out, though.
You take everything that's good about the original, just we'll just dump that.
Yeah. There is a remake.
The original.
We are getting a remake trilogy soon.
What?
Yep.
Oh, who's doing it?
I don't know who's directing, but it's called The Strangers Chapter 1.
Oh, well, that's what I saw. Yeah, that's what kept popping up. So that's that. That's this new malarkey.
That's basically the new one that comes out next month, I believe.
Oh.
So it's going to be a trilogy of movies. So I don't know if they're going to go, like, before this movie, like, show, like, them becoming the Strangers, then, like, perfecting the art, and then probably the last one, the ending of The Strangers. But, I love a horror movie where you don't get a happy ending. And again, I know it does, like, it doesn't spoil it because it leaves it open. And she is a big name actress, where when the kids go into the house and see the bodies and Liv Tyler kind of wakes up, it's kind of like, again, not to use the word, but it's quite cliche, like a cop-out. That's what it kind of felt. Because as Sammy said, they've seen the faces, the brutality, and the sheer aggression of the stabs as well, because the slow, like, I think the only slow stab I've seen is in Saved Private Ryan, where he's like slowly going in. But I think the only way they got away with that type of like violence is because of how little blood and how little violence was through the rest of the film. So mm-hmm. I don't think they would have got away with it because I know studios or like censors are quite stringent when it comes to like that type of violence because it's not nice. It's too real at the same time. Because if you went and stabbed someone, it's not going to be like you would go like it probably would be like that because you'd be at the nerves and the fear and like you would be like even though you want to, but your body would actually be reacting and trying to stop you from stabbing, and that's what it felt like. It was quite visceral at times, but it was quite uncomfortable to watch as well.
Yeah, the way you've just described that there, my stomach's just done a complete 180. It's just flipped on its ass. Oh god, it's just the idea of that's really what, don't get us wrong, there is some really scary elements in this movie, especially like those some tense moments where I was having to grab my husband's hand. He, by the way, did not like this whatsoever. But I was like kind of holding his hand because I was like, oh shit, where's this gonna go? I don't know. So the moments but that ending, mm-hmm. I've not seen a kill in a long time be so thought out, be so, now, like, and polite. It was very polite in the way that they did it, especially with how they kept handing the knife to each other and, mm-hmm. you know, swapping it about. It was a different kill that I've seen that I'm used to, that kind of like, oh, I don't know if I like this, but I do like this, but I don't really know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like they were
wonder what they're getting out of it.
Yeah, because they didn't seem to be getting pleasure out of that element because, like, there was no like excitement. There was I would use the word trepidation. That's what it felt like. They were quite hesitant, and that almost mm-hmm. made it a little bit more scary at the same time. It's like they know what they're doing.
Were they enjoying it though? Were they enjoying it? Or they just savoring the moment?
It felt ritualistic.
Yes.
More than a frenzied attack. Like mm-hmm. this is, we've now come to the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking turns. It was quite methodical, but yeah, it also seemed very thoughtful mm-hmm. And purposeful,
mm-hmm.
which is not something I can recall seeing on screen before, mm-hmm. quite to no. that degree, sure. especially something that's not, you know, overtly ritualistic.
Yeah. You know, that's such a good word to use, because the whole thing does feel like a ritual. The whole taking of the masks, they all knew when to take mm-hmm. them off at the same time. It's not like they kind of looked around at each other and went, and now. Yeah. They all just naturally did it. Mm-hmm. Ritual is the perfect word for the ending of that movie, and especially the way that they killed them. Mm-hmm. I do agree that Liv Tyler scream, fucking cop out. If you, to have such a big name star like that, fucking kill her.
Yeah.
Just kill it. Just end it right there and then. And do you know, there were some moments in that I generally didn't know that was Liv. Like, I say that was Liv Tyler.
Mm-hmm. She was very meek at the start. Like, the way she spoke as well throughout the film.
She whispered?
Yeah.
She didn't speak. She whispered.
Yeah.
And then the scream that comes out of her, I was so shocked and impressed. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, so used to her, you know, in Lord of the Rings, this soft, breathy way of speaking,
and then being taught like Arwen or something like that.
But she is very much like that in Empire Records as well. Armageddon, she's she is very softly spoken,
mm-hmm.
and then to have that fuck it, that was Tor Kirlen scream, by the way.
Yeah,
throughout.
Truly, I think I would even give her a scream queen status for that one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That blew me away. And she does it more than once.
Yeah, she does it quite a few times. In some and there was some times I thought, you really do need to scream right now, and she didn't.
Yeah.
Do you know, her poor performance in the movie, I was more interested in her. Now, I know I said earlier about him being a whole gaslighting piece of shit, but he wasn't interesting to us either at the same time. She was more intriguing. I wanted to see her. And I don't know, again, if that's because I was getting so much push vibes from it.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to see her win. And I know this obviously came before Hush, mm-hmm. But I just wanted to see her win. Yeah. If she didn't, then let her die.
Yeah. I think if they had won, it wouldn't have been like, just the film wouldn't have like had as impactful as it did. I probably wouldn't be talking about it now. It probably would have been that's in like strange. A B movie bucket somewhere. That
I'd be talking about it on Monsters.
But yeah, but it's just an interesting like premise. Like, this could happen anytime, anywhere, to anyone, And that is probably the most scariest thought. It just felt like a pointless murder for no reason. And the reason is that they were either trying out to see what it was like to kill or what it would feel like. And almost like, as you said, hunting as well, like playing with the prey, teasing them, almost feeling like, oh, you're going to get away. You might have a nice happy ending. No, it kind of that element to me scared me so much when you think about it. And this is why this movie, when people always talk about horror movies, I always say, watch The Strangers. It is one of these.
You've been seeing it from day one.
It is one of these scariest movies because it's not got any like big ghouly monster. It's not got any like ghosts or demons or crazy dolls that's coming after you or night demons or whatever. Dream demons, sorry, Freddy. It's simply got human at the forefront. And basically they can come and get you and there's nothing you can do can stop, because they did, let's be honest, the two people, even though they were thick as fuck, they didn't make too many mistakes on what they would have done. They checked the doors, they didn't walk around. Fair enough, he kept on saying go back to the house, but that's more like him trying to be a macho dude and say, oh, like, I'm the alpha male, I'll look after you, when the sensible thing is come with us, you keep watch my back as I look for things. That's what I would do. I would be pushing Nick out the door first, go, you go and check there while I'm like look around here.
That's exactly what Anth would do. He would be like, right, you go first, I'm just behind you.
Yeah.
You take it first. Jake just says, thanks, Paul, my back door is open for the dog. Yep. And you just forget.
Sorry, Jake. I know Jake doesn't like horror films, bless him.
Oh, sorry, Jake.
But yes. So other than the big like change that Ale made that like just made a better movie, what other changes would you have made to this movie?
Ooh. I just want what Ale said now. I want that movie.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been so much more intriguing. And I don't know if that's because we're looking as horror fans, we're looking for the twists and turns.
Mm-hmm.
I do genuinely like that idea of it was all set up by him in the first place just to, maybe it was like a plan, as in like, I've got plan A, plan B, plan A. She says, yes, everything's all good.
It could have been like an April Fool's joke. And then like the Dennis character getting his head blown off. Cause like, as you said, she could have like, instead of him shooting at him, it could have been her shooting him. And then it could have been shit. Yeah. What have you done? And then flipping it on the head saying, look, this was just a big trip. And then she going all like Eleanor Ripley and like, cause she's got like, she's flipped because it's scared her that much that she goes out and tries to kill them all or something like that. That again could have been flipped on the head doing the femme fatale type thing.
Yeah, I think as horror fans, we really want to know the answers, but we really don't tell us the answers.
yeah, we want to figure it out by ourselves. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. I do like that. I do like that analogy though, because like we scream saying, "Oh, tell us what." Like why Michael Myers is evil, and I'm going, no, do not fucking tell me why Michael Myers is evil. There is
no explanation that any of us will accept as canon. Yep. It just is because it's so much scarier.
Yeah,
that's why so many sequels bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Because they try and fill in the gaps, and they don't need to be. You know, it's the unknown that is so frightening.
Very nice.
I don't know. I think I would have liked a little less Shining in there. Mm-hmm. I love The Shining, my favorite film of all time. But I see it.
I don't know why I give you in every horror film.
The axe through the door. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a given.
Oh, yeah, that was a moment.
But also, when you have poor Dennis coming in, he's the Scatman Crothers.
He's isn't he
into like absolute, he's getting murdered straight off the bat. Why else would you bring him in? He's looking around going, this doesn't seem right, I'm gonna go in.
But then he's not like, he's walking around not shouting me, he said, hey, I'm in the house, how are you feeling?
He's not making himself known at all.
I'm gonna sneak around in the dark.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't turn off the annoying music. Why did he not turn off the annoying music? Oh, that'd have been so the first annoying thing I would have done.
I love the fact that Glenn Howerton's like gone into like a role outside of Always Sunny, but we still managed to bring it back to the Dennerism straight away. The Dennerism. Ah, that's a good word. And still bring it into like Dennisverse, because he would have been so fitting as a serial killer, because I am convinced he is one in Always Sunny.
He totally fits the mold. And what I love is if they were to bring that storyline in, mm-hmm. nothing would change.
How amazing would that have been?
To have such a throwaway thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
the Dennis was an actual serial killer, and he's
and birth. You know that Charlie's dissolving bodies in acid because he enjoys it. You know, it's like, you just know that's, mm-hmm. It would be a whole plot point, you know, shooting rats, dissolving bodies.
And days leading all of these men in to be going into the pit of Dennis's doom.
We are really taking this movie from what it is to
it's Always Sunny meets the strangers. But yeah.
I can always, I don't know how I've done it over the last few weeks, managed to bring Always Sunny into the conversation. I don't know how I've done it. I just have.
So
it's easy done.
With you just watching this movie as well, what would you rate it now compared to like other films and like stuff that we're getting these days? So would you rate it like highly, or would you say was it middle of the road?
No, I'd rate it highly. Mm-hmm. I'd rate it, especially in its subgenre category. Mm-hmm. When it comes to home invasion movies, if I could go a lifetime without ever seeing a masked intruder, mm-hmm. Not cock their head like this ever again. Right. The Purge for one.
Hush. Hush, he does it in the window when he looks at I. He sees it. Oh, you've ruined it now.
Sorry. I love that for film. I just think it's so done. And I like that they didn't have that kind of.
We don't have to show we're creepy. Thing. We are just fucking creepy. We don't have to.
I don't
do
have to
movement.
Intimidate you. Yeah. Just us being here is intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's the fact that there is no like witty, quippy dialogue with mm-hmm. the killers. There's no like camaraderie between them. Mm-hmm. They just exist. They just are. Yeah. I think a lot of current movies of a similar ilk try to give us maybe a bit of empathy, bit of background, bit of story, so that we maybe sympathize with the killer a little bit, or at least understand them as human.
Yeah, I think there was only one element, and again, it's just because you've said that, like the empathize with them, there was only one part where the actual killers showed any emotion, and that was when he was in the woods and he was pointing the gun at Dollface, and it was almost like he was going to take a shot. And Baghead ran Baghead. Towards him screaming with the axe, and that's when he got caught. So it was the only time he was kind of like, it wasn't a calculated attack. It was
that
almost
was a,
like,
that was
it
a
was
panic
like,
move.
That was like kind of a reaction to the situation they were in. So that was the only moment.
That was a self-defense move.
That's the only moment.
You'll be fucking axe.
Yeah. But that was the only moment I can think about that any of them showed any type of emotion towards either each other or the victims.
I
enjoyed the approaching of the two Mormon boys as well at the end, asking for a pamphlet.
What was, and then why? I don't understand why. I was like, why are you talking to these children? Like, I understand it would have been much easier if they hurled just abuse at them. Like that would have been like funnier and just to, like, break attention. But to get out the car and say, can I have one? And Dollface had to actually move mm-hmm. for her to get out.
Because mm-hmm. yeah. she was the boss. She was the one in charge. She clearly, again...
Then sit on the end.
I think it's. I think it was a way to make sure there were witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that the boys were on scene and they saw them. Another maybe power thing for them.
Like a bear witness to what we've just done type thing.
Because
they used things
that were said. Catches.
Are you sinners sometimes type thing, but again, you hear the voices but you don't actually see the faces as well, so it makes
that
a little bit more spooky and a little bit more uncomfortable, shall we say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's infuriating for me, though, as someone who has to know who everybody is, that I was like, I generally, like, I couldn't place them. And then at this point of the movie, I was like, you know what? I don't want to know. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I'm fine knowing that, just thinking they're a complete nut of mystery.
Mm-hmm. Jake's just asked in the chat what happened in the sequel. So I'll give you a little synopsis. So after the events of the first movie, in a secluded trailer park in Idaho, three masked strangers, so it's called Dollface, Pinup Girl, and the Man in the Mask. So it's called the Man in the Mask, not Sackhead. Sackhead's much better there.
Backhead's better.
Backhead. So they basically just attack them in this trailer park, and all shit goes down. And Mike is killed by the Man in the Mask. I don't know who Mike is, but yeah, it's not as good, not as tension.
Mike,
but it's more violent, shall we say. So they do like more, it's kind of like ramping it up. So they do like weird Chucky style deaths where people's impaled or people get stabbed.
Oh,
so,
really? You made me want to watch it now.
So, but yeah, it is called Prey at Night. So it's The Strangers Prey at Night. But the new one is coming out, but I don't think it's the same actors, because like Pinup Girl looks a bit different, like in features and stuff.
I hope they don't
like
change the masks or anything, because I think they are pretty iconic masks.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind getting my hands on the mask, but like there's very little merchandise or
that's
anything
such a shame.
That came out after these films as well. So I think
you are talking to a horror prop maker right in front of you. just putting that out there.
just my brain's whirring at a million miles an hour now.
I saw your eyes kind of like glaze over and was like,
how did I do that? Yeah.
But I've just read as well, because you know where it says based on true events, it says some journalists noted similarities between the Kelly Cabin murders that occurred in California in 1981. So
I think Ale hit it right on the head with the Tate LaBianca murders. Not so much, I wouldn't so much say Tate, because that was a very much that was going to happen that night, regardless if either it was happening to Sharon Tate or it was happening to him from the Beach Boys. It was happening. But the LaBianca murders, that is something completely just fucking, they just did it because. Because it was Tuesday, do you know what I mean? Like, it was, there was no other reason. So I think that is the strongest resemblance for this film, is that case right there. I am obsessed with their murders.
Would you, now, yes. This is going to be the big question. Would you have survived this movie with all your horror with all your horror knowledge and knowing what to do and what not to do in these type of situations? Would you have made it out alive?
Absolutely not. No.
I would love to think yeah. Mm-hmm. But the only way that you're getting out of the strangers alive is somehow joining them. Trying to figure out, is this a cult? Can I join?
That's what I've always said. See, when I used to watch The Walking Dead, when Negan came in, and I was like, you know what, if I was in Rick's team right now, I'd be like, right, hey Sam here, just wondering if you're taking on members. I would jump to the power source, because that's my only way of survival. So yes, I would try to join them, or like I said earlier, take my chances out the front door with shoes on and see how far I got. Probably, I would probably end up killing myself and not somebody else doing it for me.
Tucker and Dale style.
Very much. I am so clumsy. How I've survived 40 years is beyond me. But I'm not surviving. I will never survive a horror movie. I am not surviving the zombie apocalypse. I'm out. Don't rely on us, because I will not be here.
Oh, poor Jake said he would make them murder them faster, because he would be too annoying.
They would actually stop and go, oh, he's such a sweetheart, we'll keep him alive.
kill nerdy Jesus.
Play them at their own game.
Right. Try and scare them.
Try and out-weird them.
Right. So you try and put on a weird mask on as well, and just like look at them, get strangely saying, is Taffeta here?
I would go into, like, I don't know, I'd just talk to them like I knew them.
Hey, dude.
Them
you're here?
I would probably
try and
turn it into a musical or something. Change the genre, you know? Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, start singing musical numbers at them. Like, literally go from the very first song to the very end song. I think I could do Little Shop of Horrors. Generally think I could do that in its entirety. That would really freak them out.
That would freak them out. If you start singing along to the records that they've put on.
Right.
Just be like, oh, I love this one. You know, and then just...
I'll go for Art the Clown, start beeping a horn at them.
Do you know what's so annoying is that I did my research for Monsters and Tonight last night, and I did Monsters first, which is, just to put a cheeky little promo out there, it is Home, the X-Files episode that was once banned. And then I watched this. Mm-hmm. And take the family incest out the way, just push it to one side. Quite a lot generally of similarities. Good advice. Yeah. And yeah. Nothing with the story, but more the scenery, more mm-hmm. the aesthetic, more the, you know, the look of it, the fucking music. Mm-hmm. The fact that Johnny Mathis has played, like, I'm giving away monster stuff, but the fact that Johnny Mathis has played throughout that episode, and then you've got whatever the fuck she had on that record player. It's like, no, this mm-hmm. needs to stop. Like, now.
Did I have that?
You don't have them songs.
What did I have? No, but it did. The score won the 2009 Fangoria Chainsaw Awards. They loved the soundtrack.
Don't get us wrong. For a horror movie, it is fantastic. Like, it is. It was doing it before. What do you call it? Was doing it. Go on. You look excited.
Yeah, I remembered a thing. So Mama Tried that came on. Is by Merle Haggard and The Strangers.
Oh,
so it was no
coincidence.
It was no accident. Right. And also in my little bit of research that I did on that, you know, the Aerosmith mm-hmm. were also called The Strangers before they made it big.
All right. Interesting.
Oh, so a little bit Tyler, eh? I wonder. Yeah. I wonder.
Very strange.
Yes.
But Strangers.
Strangers in the night. But yes, this, as we said before, this could have turned out or been such a cheese fest, or could have went down so many levels of wrong when it comes to horror movies. If it was dealt with like any different hands, as you said, if this was a Blumhouse film, it probably would have been 17 million jump scares and like loads of different ways and like some bad makeup art, shall we say. But I think, as I said, as I said before, the restraint used was well paced. Like, the pace in this movie, it's not a long movie as well when you think about it. I think it was just over an hour and a bit mm-hmm. and some change a little bit, but I felt like, as you said, I could hardly take a breath throughout this movie. It left me, I'd say, quite exhausted. But mm-hmm. in a good way. But again, it did make us feel like I didn't want to be alone in the house for a long time. So, yes,
to be honest, as cat parents, we're never really alone, are we?
Yeah, no. but the cats aren't going to do anything to save us.
The cats don't fucking help, actually, because half the noises I hear in my house is because of little shits. Can I just say, I just went to have a look on Google just to see what horror was in 2008. And wow, this is kind of like a good thing out of a bad bunch. But do you want to know what movie did come out in 2008?
Come on then.
Baghead.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Baghead.
Right, okay.
Wow.
There is a movie, I shit you not, called Baghead, and it actually scored 79% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm not going to watch that.
And it's Greta Gerwig.
Right.
Who was the director of Barbie, who stars in it.
All right. Interesting.
So you learn something new every day here, people.
So, yes.
That's Baghead. Right, that's going on the list. I can't not watch that now.
You've got to watch Baghead now.
Just go and look at the picture and you will see, you'll be like, yeah, I'm in it.
So I know they did go with the sequel and they did make some choices with them, but if you were going to do like a follow-up to this movie, how would you have done it? Would it have been like, I know I wouldn't have tried to go bigger myself. I do like maybe the cult aspect where maybe they would have been sent to do this for like kind of the cult leader or something like that.
It was you all along.
But that would have been quite...
I have a real soft spot for batshit crazy sequels. I think if you're going to try and do the same thing and keep the tension, you're going to fail, right? So throw all that out. Go Texas Chainsaw 2. Mm-hmm. Do you know what? Fuck it, get Bill Moseley in.
Right.
He can be whoever he wants to be.
I would just have him star in everything, to be
fair. Flip it on the head, someone innocently walks up or comes to where the strangers live and they go into, knocks on their door and they bring them in just simply because, not because you were in, because you knocked on their door.
And it was Bill Moseley.
Possibly.
And it was
it was Chop, actually, it was Chop Chop who came. That would now that would be interesting. Chop Chop and the Strangers. I actually like that idea.
Oh, Jake's has come up with a good one.
Oh, go on.
Have a true crime podcaster team trying to find them or work out what they were doing.
I actually really like that.
Like found footage type thing, or like not found footage, like almost like Blair Witch
almost
style.
Almost what they're trying to do with Halloween, with the whole podcasters looking for the real Michael Myers. But actually, you know, not getting killed.
Yeah.
That would be a good start. But yeah, I love that idea.
Ooh. Or switch the genres, like Devil's Rejects. So you go from paper horror to crime thriller, like revenge tale.
Yeah, interesting. So there's, I do think there's a lot of scope and a lot of possibility for this. I think it's one of those movies where it, I know it sounds weird saying this, but it has legs. It can go places with this, and it can touch on so many different things and can scare people in so many different ways. So I do think potentially it can have like a lost opportunity if they don't do anything better than what we've got had with the sequel followed. Hopefully, as you said, with chapter one and the trilogy of movies that's coming out, we do get, like, say, a bit more interesting. So I don't know if there's anything else you two lovely ladies want to add to what we've talked about there.
No, I think I covered everything. I'm putting my notebook away.
I think we've covered just about everything with it.
Cool.
Pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. And it's
maybe
when I go and dig into the subgenre a bit more, because
that's one thing I'll take away from it.
So I always say, why say or when and is on the table? Mm-hmm. I don't need to pick my genres. I don't need to pick, you know, I'm not a picky person.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to me. I'll watch it.
There's too many jokes when someone's asking us to give it to us.
That is a good idea.
I've made all of them myself already, so don't worry.
I've been on my best behaviour tonight as well, especially with...
You've not... This is the second time we've had someone on. You barely swore.
I swore loads earlier.
You did not. You were very restrained.
Well, to be fair though, we get new people on. We'll have to be like a good impression. We don't want to scare them off so that they don't come back.
Here's me just chucking out a motherfucker here and a bitch there. Do you know?
That's fine.
Sorry.
I swear like a sailor. So I'm trying. This has been, I said to Paul before, I have to edit in real time. I'm used to just going off on like rambling tangents, so then I can go back and cut out every time I drop a C bomb or.
No, that's fine.
You should come on Monsters. We love a tangent on Monsters.
Bless you. So thank you for everyone that's tuned in. Yes, I know with it being a Wednesday night, most people will be watching like probably through the week or catching up later. So if you're watching, you should have watched live, you bastards. Trying to think what's coming up now, because we've had Grand Theft Auto that came out today.
Yes, brilliant fucking episode. Please go and check it out. I know it is a lengthy one, but it is well worth your time to watch. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Trekking on Friday with Graham and Goodwill.
Yep, they're going back to Next Generation. Just to say about the Grand Theft episode that came out today, it is one of the hairiest episodes you'll ever see. Them four men are the hairiest men you'll ever see on Earth.
One of the beautifulest episodes. Four beautiful men. Now,
even Hobo Lee looked all right. Yes. Four men in beards.
All beautiful. And then on Sunday we are back again.
Blues
we
Brothers.
Are doing I was just about to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually gonna sing it.
You, me, everybody.
Yes.
Need somebody
Blues Brothers.
Love.
And then Monday, Monsters. I've already given away. It's the X-Files episode Home.
Yes.
Which I can't say is good or not because I haven't recorded it yet.
Cool. And we do have, I think Lee will be on Twitch tomorrow playing Final Fantasy VII,
I see a video go up earlier of What's in the Box?
He did a What's in the Box episode where he opened some cards yesterday, because I played Stray. So I was a pussycat for an hour. I was running around licking things and meowing and scratching carpets. It was quite entertaining to
me. Is that before or after you played the game?
I've done it with her. I was like, I'm a cat. I'm a kitty cat. I'm a kitty cat. But yes.
I'll be the cat.
Yes, I'll be the cat. Yeah, so lots of stuff to come along. Hopefully, like I say, Ayla has enjoyed herself and we can try and tempt her back again.
Enough to where you will come back to us.
Anytime, guys. I have had a wonderful time. Well, that sounds really sarcastic, but I don't really mean it. It was lovely.
But yes, we are like putting plans in place for the spooky month as well. So we will be talking to me and Sammy.
We prepare hard for the October, for like our spooky month.
Yes, I think there's talks of doing Midnight Mass as one of the episodes that we are going to talk about. So I think there's a few people got the names down, so that might be a big episode. So yes.
And we will whittle that down.
Well, I look forward to either seeing it or contributing or both.
We'll have you back, don't worry. You've been an absolute joy. Just to see what interesting things you get in the background as well, because like say that wallpaper is amazing.
I know. When you were having your technical issues earlier, me and Paul were going, "Wow, look at the wallpaper! Oh my God, look at on her bed."
Can you see that? It's,
can I ask, is it wallpaper or did you hand paint it?
No, it's wallpaper. Oh. It's sticky wallpaper.
Amazing. Amazing. Our audio listeners won't be able to see it, but go on YouTube and have a look.
Yes. So El Diablo is looking good.
Slowly turning this whole room into like clown core.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay, we will have to arrange a podcast for you and Kay to meet each other.
Oh.
That is gonna have to happen.
Yeah, Kay was that would be Kay was the scariest person ever. I was like, I just like sadistic clowns that make people bleed. That's okay. Yeah. Let's walk away now.
But she's so innocently she just looks so innocent and she's like smiling while she's saying it.
Listen, it's hysterical. I mean, I can't explain to you why it's funny. It just is.
So Kay did a good enough job trying to mm-hmm. get us on board.
So I know I've got links in the description already for Eel's Instagram.
Awesome.
I'll snag it afterwards to get a Etsy store as well, so I'll post that in the description as well. Yay. So if you want to check out any spooky shit on Instagram, Ayla is a lovely person to follow. It is quite interesting to see a wide variety of haircuts as well.
Yes, I have noticed recently as I see you pop up quite frequently on my Facebook, I'm like, she didn't have that hair the other day. And then when you logged on, I was thinking to myself, oh, it's the black hair we're with now.
It's, this is my black meltdown mullet. So
I love it.
We're just going to have to live with that.
It's working. It's working.
It's great.
Yes. So, again, just one final plug as well for Ayla. Like, say she's got, what's your Etsy store called again?
It's Practically Magic Glasgow.
Oh. Cool. And I believe you've got a fund on your Instagram to help with the Horror Cafe dream as well.
I do. And it's also on my Facebook as well and on my personal Instagram, which is at Ayla Coven.
Mm-hmm.
And TikTok as well under Practically Magic. So
you'll find me on TikTok.
I'm all over the place.
I will find it because I love TikTok and I have.
I tried working out TikTok. I can't work it out.
You've done all right. Four accounts. So I will find you.
I will find you, not in a creepy way. That's okay. But yes.
did sound really creepy, doesn't it?
Well,
I will find you.
We'll finish on Sam stalking our guests as normal. So yes. So same bat time, same bat channel.
Stay nerdy, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Chunk some of this shit.
Onto some scary movie.
Like scary.
Hell of this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Beetlejuice.
It's showtime.